Hello, everybody. I'm going to be talking about open access and books. This presentation is for anybody who's curious about where we are on the journey to open access for books. The short answer to this is we're lagging far behind, well behind journal publishing. And that is because getting to open access for books is really hard, and also because the market for books is so much smaller than journals. The journal publishers have worked harder and faster to figure that one out. But before I go on, I want to say I'm restricting myself here to monographs and collected, edited, research-based volumes that have the specialist audience that you also have for single authored monographs. I also want to say that I think before watching this, you should familiarize yourself with the technical meaning of open access and licensing open access content. Become familiar with Creative Commons licenses, and then you can find a really good summary of this on Dan Pollack's video on the Alps Career Hub. So I'm not going to repeat that here. So we're ready to move on. Let's look at the differences between monographs and journal articles. First of all, on the monograph side, they're long. The writing of monographs is part of the research process. The book has a longer life cycle. It's used as a means of scholarly communication, much more in humanities and social science subjects, and authors, of course, publish fewer monographs in their careers than they do articles. These are sold individually rather than journal subscriptions. And there are many more small specialist publishers in HSS. Now let's look quickly at the journal articles market. Well, articles are short. They report on research. They have a shorter life cycle generally. They're more favored in the STEM subjects to communicate research findings. Authors produce many more articles, and these are, as I said, sold as part of a journal package. And there are only a handful of multinationals that dominate the STEM publishing market. Now, here we have a snapshot of a few key indicators. In the DOAB, the Directory of Open Access Books, you can find 671 publishers who have published so far nearly 45,000 monographs in open access. DOAJ shows a completely different picture for journals. There are only 100 publishers listed there, 17,000 journals, but that represents nearly 7 million articles already listed in DOAJ and growing daily. I'd like to start out by looking at who pays for closed monographs. Now, historically and today, closed monographs have been sold primarily to institutional libraries and are funded from their acquisitions budgets. It's been a little bit of money from research funders that sometimes have in the past bought printed copies just to subsidize the cost of publishing. Some universities have produced small amounts of departmental funding. And of course, monographs sell to a very small number of individuals because they're priced so high, because the market is small, etc. But who pays for open access monographs now? Well, you have research funders. That's the people who fund research and who are increasingly allocating a small part of their big grants to fund BPCs. We'll get to what a BPC, a book processing charge, is in a moment. And there are institutions and departments that also have money to support their own academics because they would like to support their findings to be available in open access. And libraries collectively are trying to find ways of supporting open access through either funding individual titles or through non-BPC routes, which we'll be talking about a little bit in a moment. But you see the order has flipped somewhat from the old world of closed. Now, what's a BPC? It's a fee that pays for the publishing process upfront in exchange for open access. And this is commonly called an author-facing charge. But authors rarely pay for themselves, but they are responsible for finding the money from one of a number of sources. But it's a lot of money for a book. It can be averaging £10,000 instead of the £2,500 average of an article. And then there are the issues around who administers the BPC payments. Well, all sorts of departments come into play here inside the universities, the libraries, the individual departments. The procurement office comes along and says, what is this? Why are you paying for something that's free? And the finance office, of course. And the workflows are really only just being created and bedded down. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about mandates. You've probably heard that research funders are beginning to mandate that open is by default the way of going forward with publications. In the UK, UKRI already mandated that journal articles go away from 2016, but the discussions around open access for books are still underway, even though we have got the policy documents in hand. But Plan S is about research funders all around Europe and the world, 17 national funders, 5 charitable and international funders, and importantly, the EU and the European Research Council are all mandating that their what they support goes open access. That doesn't always mean funding, so publishers are trying to figure this out. And so there are a number of new open access publishing models for books. And this is a partial list, and I'm not gonna have the time to go over each of them, but let's divide them up between BPC examples, sort of, and non-BPC examples. So those that focus on the individual book and those that focus on more general support of a publishing operation or program. Please go and look at the websites of all of these because they're very much still in pilot mode. And so we'll be seeing what happens with all of them. Tome is an interesting one in America, which has engaged with university administrators to find pools of money to support their early career academics and going to open. Then we have Cambridge, which has recently launched their flip to open, which is a commitment that if income from close gets to a certain point, they will make the books open. And Springer is trialing a pilot that is similar to a journal transformative deal, but requires a large number of authors and based in a large consortium of libraries to make this work for books, because remember, there are far fewer books going through the system than journal articles. And then some non-BPC examples. MIT have launched their Direct to Open just last year, and it is a very interesting model providing as an incentive term access to backlist in order to fund the front list. variants on this theme are coming through with Michigan's Fund to Open. Do have a look at a more established small publisher, Open Book Publishers, where they have a mixed model through membership of libraries that are partially supporting their operations. And then the CU Press and Liverpool University Press are piloting opening the future model, which is a subscribe to open model, a variant of the direct to open model, and which do have a look, please, at what they're doing. And all of us publishers are working on fostering open infrastructure to support OA books. So funding and the future of open access is not all that straightforward. As I've said, the mandates do not necessarily produce sufficient funding to provide for even those books that come out of the research projects. And indeed, what happens to those books that are the output of a single academic without research funding? Where will this land in terms of green and gold? The authors tend not to like green as much as they like gold for various reasons, including wanting to restrict how the books are used with an ND license, which you'll know from Creative Commons, no derivatives is a more restrictive license. And we will see how this mix turns out. We will certainly find that no single source of funding is likely to cover all publications. The future will be a mix and match approach, and no single funding or publishing model will cover everything. We will see that some models will survive and others will fail. Now, bearing in mind that so far only 10% of monographs being published are going OA, we have a long way to go. With articles, it's nearly 30%, and some STEM subjects like math are up to 80%. But the interesting insight that we got during the first few months of the pandemic, when most publishers put their content online, we found that there was a huge interest in watching the open access books, or downloading the open access books. And we were just stunned, all the monograph publishers were just stunned at how much interest there was in those books that had previously just sold in small amounts. And so I think we have a very exciting future. And for those of you who get involved in this, there's an interesting road forward. Thank you very much.